Sunrise to sunset.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's greet each other. Give everybody a greeting. Morning.
Morning, Pastor.
Morning, Pablo. Roberto. Hey, Rebecca. Did y'all have enough food?
Yes, sir.
Good.
One more.
Alan. Suchess. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year again. Are you through with your resolutions yet? Half of America is already. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you so much for your presence here. And Almighty God, we just want to ask you please to pour your Spirit out upon our nation. We pray, dear God, if you would, that you would completely turn back abortion and protect the unborn across this nation. We pray, Lord, that you'd supernaturally intervene. We thank you for some of the progress recently, but we desperately need to move on and go so much further. And we just want to ask you, please, to bring an awakening on our nation, to let your Spirit fall upon us and draw close to us. And we just want to tell you, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're our guest today, we want to invite you to fill out the little form on the heart publication there and place it in the offering plate. So that we can get to know you. And then also, we've got our men's and ladies' Bible studies coming up beginning next Sunday. And the books are available in the lobby. The men's, there's I think, one or two books left. And we've got one or two of the audio books. And so those are $12 each. And Larry Hughes will be selling those in the lobby. And so just see him. And then our ladies' Bible study will also be available in the lobby. You can sign up for that as well. And we want to encourage you to be a part of that. And then today, in just a few minutes, in a little bit, we're going to be recognizing Sue Chess. Kim and I love Sue and Sam. It's a pastor, wife, and husband, pastor. And we've known them for years and years and years. And she is the director of the Crisis Pregnancy Center here in the Treasure Coast, and we're so privileged to have her with us today. We want to invite you to take part in our life groups if you're not already, and get to know the church in a smaller way. And then we've got a senior luncheon coming up this Tuesday. John Keith is our speaker, who works for our association, Treasure Coast Association. And our own Darren Snipes will be bringing some special music. Is that right, Darren? It is right. And so I want to encourage you to come and take part. Bring your usual goodies, and we'll provide the chicken, and we'll have a great time of fellowship in the fellowship hall this Tuesday. So I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. And MomCo will be happening this Wednesday, and so I want to encourage our young moms to be a part of that as well. And then our dinner menu is located here, and we'd love to have you come be with us for that as well. Okay, Brother Rick.
Let's pray. Dear my Father, once again, we want to thank you for this day. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessing to be able to come here and be able to freely worship you. Lord, we just ask that you would lay your healing hands on anybody in the church, anybody in the world, because you are the greatest healer of all. Lord, we just ask that you'd lay your healing hand on anybody that needs your touch. Lord, we just ask that you'd bless the tithes and offerings and those that offered it. Lord, we just ask to guide us and lead us through this day. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, praise team. Please be seated. We'd like to release our children for Children's Church at this time, out the side door here. Good morning. I'd like to remind all of you, too, that this coming Friday and Saturday, we're having work days at Reborn Farm. I want to encourage you to come at 8 o'clock. We're done noonish. And so come and give us a hand and serve Jesus together. It's a sweet time of fellowship, and you might even get a workout in, possibly. So we want to encourage you to come and take part in that with us. Well, it's our privilege today to have with us Sue Chess. And Sue has been the director of the Crisis Pregnancy Centers. We have two of them in Port St. Lucie for the last 22 years. And she's going to come and share with us, and we love her and praise God for her. It's kind of a sad commentary that abortion has drastically escalated. Is that right? And yet churches are observing less and less and less of pro-life Sunday. Is that right? There's a drastic decline in the emphasis. And so we praise God for you being here, because we're never going to not speak for the unborn. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Sue, come and share with us.
Love you.
I read a statistic the other day that said less than 4% of pastors will address the sanctity of human life or abortion from the platform. You guys are in a special church. This is the story of a recent patient at CareNet's Medical Pregnancy Clinic. We will call her Lisa. She came to CareNet saying abortion is her only option. Lisa is single, living with a family member, and the baby's father has said if she keeps it, he will leave her. Little does she realize that if she gets the abortion to please him, statistically, their relationship will probably never make it anyway. At CareNet, we make sure Lisa understands that if she's pregnant, she has only three options: have the baby, terminate the baby, or place the baby for adoption. She will never be able to make it just simply go away, because it always was, especially in the heart of God. Lisa must decide what decision she can best live with. There's only going to be one that she can best live with. I've spoken with many, many parents, many, many mothers who regretted their abortion. I have never spoken to one who regretted having that baby. Her pregnancy test was positive, and immediately she began to cry, rocking back and forth as she said, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" Lisa's peer counselor empathized with her and asked if she would stay for an ultrasound provided by our medical team. Thankfully, she agreed to stay. After Lisa was settled in the ultrasound room on that exam table, our sonographer began the ultrasound, and almost immediately it was there, a heartbeat, clearly visible, seen on this 5-week, 4-day-old baby. This precious mother begins to cry again, but not with, what am I going to do? Instead, now she's saying, that's my baby, that's my baby. Such is the back and forth of emotions that women go through when they are faced with an unplanned pregnancy. In the end, Lisa chose life, and we got to begin the wonderful process of walking through this pregnancy with her. We don't just drop them there. We stay by their side, helping them feel the emotional support, the connection, providing them with the connections that will help them with this pregnancy. These are the girls that we see at CareNet, and that was a real-life client. Others came for pregnancy support with no intention to abort. CareNet really is the best place to start if you find out you're pregnant, because we have so many referrals and assistance available. Of course, there are times when she chooses abortion, believing it's the only way. For those girls, we say, if you get into trouble later, if you are struggling with your decision, we love you and we're still here for you, no matter what you do. Sadly, many go through post-abortion syndrome. There are girls all too often at CareNet. Others came for the help that we could give them. And in fact, through pregnancy, student, and abortion recovery last year, we served 2,845 in all of our locations. Most of the time, we offer them spiritual counsel. If they'll allow us to talk about Jesus, we will do just that. In fact, 33 prayed to receive Jesus Christ last year. That is something that blesses our heart all the time. For anyone considering abortion, we offer ultrasound to be provided as soon as possible, because I don't know if you realize, all those ads that you get on your phone anytime you search something online or make a call, those also begin to track a girl who makes a call to make a pregnancy test. The minute she hangs up that phone, she starts getting pop-up ads for the abortion pill. So we have basically 24 hours to get her scanned before she'll make a decision for abortion. We're racing the clock, literally racing the clock. We offer ultrasounds every day that we can in one of our locations or on our mobile unit. Last year, 426 received ultrasound or STI testing by our medical professionals. We love telling you that 133 babies were saved from abortion. 851 participated in our parenting classes and shopped in the boutique. 545 were students that we simply got to challenge to make healthy choices. I feel like those numbers represent to you, this wonderful congregation, the report on your investment, because you were givers to this ministry last year. These are the things that you accomplished. 219 were fathers that we met with in our fatherhood mentoring program. 144 were in attendance at our post-abortion healing classes. That number has been going up, as you can imagine. Your support helps to make this possible. Guys, the good work of CareNet is simply crucial to our culture today. This is a mission field on our Treasure Coast. Girls are finding out too late that the choice to end their pregnancy is not really in her best interest. She rushes for that pill, and only later does she face the consequences, often alone, realizing the pain and suffering of her choice. In the state of Florida, it's now illegal to get an abortion after 6 weeks. So they call us quicker. They're not seeing as much on that ultrasound image when they come in and we scan them. So it makes it even harder for them to understand what their choice is really all about. But we will show them, we give them little tiny images of the baby, and we explain to them what the stages of development are and help her to make an informed decision. Then we tell her what abortion is really like and help her to understand her choices, to help her understand that when she takes that pill, it's usually in her bathroom that she delivers this baby into the toilet. Often she sees that this is a baby when the toilet water washes the baby, the blood off the baby, a tiny little baby, that then one girl called Planned Parenthood and said, what do I do? My baby is floating in the toilet. And they said, close your eyes and flush. Guys, this is what girls are going through. And every time they walk into their bathroom, this is the visual that comes back to them. It is not without the repercussions that go along with such a choice. In November 25, we added to our two locations a mobile clinic that will expand our reach in underserved areas. We can go from Hope Sound clear to anywhere in Fort Pierce. If we cannot get a girl that calls us into one of our centers, we will send the Uber to get her to pick her up and bring her to us. So somebody called from Hope Sound the other day. We picked her up and brought her to the Port St. Lucie Center. And then we paid her Uber bill to go back home because we want her to get that ultrasound. It's vital. If you'd like to become a part of that, let me tell you how. We rely on our monthly partners, as you can imagine, to keep our doors open. Your bulletin has an insert from CareNet in it. You can scan that and sign up on our website to become a volunteer, a giver, or even a prayer. Somebody that we will send a text to if there's a girl in our center that is abortion-minded. We will send you a text. We change her name. We give her a fake name. But you know to pray for her, and God knows who she is. Our gala is taking place on March 5th and 6th at the Mid-Florida Event Center, and we are looking for people to come to that event. You have a wonderful table host here at First Baptist. It's Kim. So if you would like to come to that gala, please talk to her, and we'll sit you all together so that you can enjoy each other there. I recently saw a wonderful quote about serving. It said, "I always wondered why somebody didn't do something. Then I realized I was that somebody." Are you that somebody? Please see me after the service if there's anything that made you interested in joining us more. Thank you for the invitation to be here today. And God bless First Baptist and Stewart.
Thank you, Sue. Bless your heart. Love you. Praise God. Amen. Today I'd like to speak to you about the fact that you and I are made in the image of God. In theology, they use the Latin term Imago Dei. And because of that, every human being on earth, 7.5 to 8 billion human beings, every one of them, from the youngest to the oldest, are made in the image of God. And it's interesting that the complexity, one of the arguments that's been posed is that the unborn fetus, and the Latin word fetus just means child. It's another name for child. But the unborn fetus is just tissue. Not a human yet. And it's fascinating that I saw a reel this week on the complexity of the DNA chain. Each of us, you're on the chain. Each of us have a DNA chain. And did you know that if you were to unravel the DNA chain because of the complexity of it, that if it was stretched into a single linear element, that it would reach all the way to the sun and back. And that's how much complexity there is in each of us, our DNA chain. And to think that that just happened when it carries with it coding of everything in our life, our hair color, our size, our intelligence, everything about us is, it's really like a computer program that delineates each of us. And at the moment that spark of, that electrical spark occurs at conception when the sperm meets the egg. At that point, that DNA chain is developed by God. And it's interesting, in Jeremiah, he says that we were woven together in our mother's womb, which is a perfect description of that DNA chain. So today I'd like for us to look at an origin passage relating to us in our image. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at this passage together. It's the creation chain where God is creating each of the different things, different elements of creation. And then in verse 26, interesting terminology. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so here we see God talking about our creation and talking about it in an interesting way. First of all, he's saying that we are created in his image, in the image of God. Now, he said, not only did he create man in his image, but he said, I've created a male and female, and they are in my image. So every man, every woman is created in the image of God. Now, I want to kind of drive this home a few points, and then we'll look at it together for a few minutes. In chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, the scriptures say this about God. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So, again, a plural reference to God, that God is that man is now responding and has knowledge like us. And we see this in relationship to the fall, Adam and Eve partaking of the forbidden fruit and falling. And then God in his counsel, the triunity of God, and we know this to be so from Genesis to Revelation, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are the us, they are the them, they are the our, let us make man in our image, and it's the Trinity of God. And so we see again in chapter 11, verse 7 of Genesis, another reference, come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So here we see the Tower of Babel, where all of humanity at that point had gathered together and said, we're going to make a tower that reaches to the heavens. And then God, again, in his counsel, the triunity, said, let us go down and confuse them, lest they become like us. And so we see another reference. And then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, we see again another reference. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. And so we see in this, again, a reference to us being in the image of God. Now, we've talked about this before, but it bears rehearsal. How are we in the image of God? Does that mean that God is sitting on a throne in a body like ours? Well, in relationship to Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, true. But in relationship to God the Father is a spirit, and he would not necessarily look like us. Now, in Scripture, we see what are called anthropomorphisms, references to God as if he was like a man. For instance, it says that he turned his back and Moses saw his back, and he covered Moses with his hand in the cleft of the rock. Well, does that mean that God's actually got a palm and five fingers, four and a thumb? No, that it doesn't mean that. These are terms that God uses to identify with us, because he is a spirit. He doesn't have actually a back and physical body like that. Now, he gave the appearance of that to Moses, and we see that God himself takes on these images again and again. Now, there is a different aspect to God in the appearance of Christophanies, appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. In my devotions, I've been reading through where Jacob was sleeping in anxiety, expecting his brother Esau, who he thought was going to kill him for stealing his birthright and other things. And so he can't sleep. He's restless. Esau's coming. He wakes up in the night, and there's a man in his tent, and it said Jacob wrestled him all night long. And it turns out that it wasn't Esau. It was really Christ, an appearance of Christ before his incarnation. Because after the night, he says, and it refers to him as a man. In the scriptures, it says that he finally says, I'm going to rename you Israel because you wrestled with God and prevailed. Well, that means that the man in the tent was God. And so it was an appearance of Christ. We see also the three Hebrew children thrown into the fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar comes over. Are y'all all right? Is everything okay? You know, and he says, and I looked in and I saw a fourth like the Son of Man, the Son of God. And we see an appearance of Christ in the furnace with the three Hebrew children. And there's several other references throughout where we see appearances of Christ. Now, you and I are in the image of God because God is triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Father is the ruling element of the Trinity. And that's why Jesus said, I do my Father's will. I always do the will of my Father. But then he also said that the Holy Spirit serves Christ and glorifies Christ. His purpose is to glorify Christ. And there's a line of submission between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when you look at us, we are mind, will, and emotions, which is our soul, and we are body, soul, and spirit. So there's three parts to us. And the physical body relates to the incarnation of Christ, that as the second person of the Trinity, he has a physical body. And then the Holy Spirit obviously relates to our spirit. And then our soul relates to God the Father, our mind, our will, our emotions, the determination of our life. And so God says, I've made you in my image. Now, every human being on earth has body, soul, and spirit. Now, every human being on earth, and all of us here today included, were born with a dead spirit. Our spirit was dead. And that's why we needed to be reborn. And that's why the only way you can get to heaven is to be reborn, because we're all stillborn spiritually. And so here we see him talking about this image, and this image all the way from the Old to the New Testament in plurality. Some have termed it the plurality of majesty. Anytime we see Elohim, the I am in Hebrew is like our plural S. In its plurality. El is God. Elohim, God in plurality, God in majesty. Not many gods, one God in three persons. And then we see, secondly, we're created to rule over the rest of creation. And if you look back in our Genesis passage in Genesis chapter 1, we see in verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then we see a reiteration of this in three categories, and they all begin with over. You and I, we are over this, we're over that, we're over this. And so we see in verse 28, God blessed him, and God said to him, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we see a dominance that God's given humanity, human beings, that you and I are to be in management, rulership, and dominance over God's creation. We're over the sea, we're over the sky, and we're over the terra firma, the physical earth. And we are given that by God. We're above, we're superior. We're not just another form of animals. It's interesting that when you get into the world today, and the world of science, and the world of the academic, and the world of those that say that they are superior in their knowledge and their understanding and all of that, that those that claim this, a lot of time, most of them, that claim the higher ground of intellect and ability, they begin, first of all, by embracing evolution. They embraced the idea that everything in the universe came from nothing. It's ludicrous. We don't need to prove the age of DNA of dinosaurs in Amber. We don't need the footprints of dinosaurs and man in Phoenix. We don't need all of these other evidences. It is ludicrous that everything came from nothing. Now, I'm not going to get into this again, but the most powerful super intelligent AI quantum computer in the world, quantum Grok 4, when asked about the probability of evolution, spontaneous generation of life, that all of a sudden there was no life, and now spontaneous generation, now all of a sudden it appeared on its own. So Grok pulled in, at any given time, 10 trillion bits of information and summarized with scientists who were interviewing it, and it said that the chance or the odds of spontaneous generation of life, i.e. evolution, that the odds for that, and I can't even really quote the number, but it was like 30 quadrillion to the 1,000th power. So that's a number with 18 zeros and then 1,000 more zeros behind it. And it said the illustration of it would be that if you and I were, any individual was blindfolded, and we were to take all the cosmic material in the universe, the specks of dust to comets to asteroids that are flying in this immeasurable universe, and someone randomly was to select one speck of that dust, just only one, and then you or me or any of us were to be blindfolded and in one chance select that piece of dust out of the universe. I mean, it's ludicrous. You can't even wrap your mind around it. And that was the computer saying, it's impossible. It's more than impossible. It's many times impossible. So embracing evolution and then criticizing us, ridiculing us for believing that a supernatural, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing intelligence designed and created everything. That makes a whole lot more sense to me than everything from nothing. Can I hear an amen? And so these brilliant people that embrace that will move right down the scale. And the next thing is that the baby, the unborn child, the fetus, the in utero human being is not a human, is not a person. Even Geraldo Rivera, who is not my favorite newsman, never has been, very sensational, years ago when he was younger, was interviewing one of the leading abortionists in the United States and was talking to her. She owned like 100 abortion clinics. And he reached down and he pulled out of a briefcase a jar with a human fetus, a human baby's remains in it, and held it up in front of her and says, ma'am, you've got to realize when you look at this, this is not a puppy. This is not a cat. This is a human being. Well, she couldn't answer that, you know, because that was the size. And he said, this is the size you're taking all the time. Now, how prolific is this? When we think about abortion, we had dropped down to below 500,000 abortions a year. And then Roe v. Wade was overturned, thank God. And it was gotten rid of by President Trump. But now the states, especially the Democratic blue states, and by the way, if there's one single social remedy for everything for the Democrats, it's kill babies. At their national convention in the last election cycle, they had an abortion clinic trailer in the parking lot, and they aborted 12 babies during their convention. Give me a break. Brian Mast, when he was here running for his election in 20 as our congressman, told our congregation, he said, you don't know this, but this year, 2020, the Democrats primaried all of their pro-life candidates. There used to be blue dog Democrats who believed in the right to bear arms, pro-life, a lot of other things, a lot of moral things. They primaried them all. They got rid of them, all of them, every one of them. And then Brian said, when this Congress is seated, no matter which way this election goes, every Democrat from the House to the Senate to the presidency, if they get it, will all be pro-abortion. And that's where we are now as a nation. And it's disgusting. I'll be frank with you. And I want to tell you something. My whole entire ministry life, I've emphasized, I don't want to vote for that and stand before Christ. Can I hear an amen? I don't want to vote for that and stand and God say, why? Oh, yeah, you had a tradition from your family. They were Democrats your whole life, and they used to be for your working man and this and that. Why did you vote for them to kill the babies, to kill my innocents in America? I'm not going to stand before him. I have voted for pro-life Democrats in the past when there was such a thing against a pro-choice, pro-abortion Republican. I've done that. But I just want to lay that out to you, and you need to be, as a shepherd and a pastor and preparing you to go and stand before God, you need to be aware of that distinction, and you really need to think about that and pray about that. Now, recognize now there's not very many Democrats in the life of our church anymore. But if you are, you're welcome. Thank God you're here, and I want you to receive what I'm saying as coming from the Word of God. And then we think about this. Abortion now, I just checked my numbers with Sue before she spoke. We're back up to 1.25 million abortions a year now. 1973, Roe v. Wade. Since that time, basically averaging 1 million a year, 43 million dead babies. Three times the population of Florida. And you think about it, and you think about 1 million babies dying a year. And now the proliferation of it's because of the abortion pill. The girl doesn't have to go in to a doctor, doesn't have to go into a clinic. They can just get that prescription and take those pills. And as Sue so graphically described, take the life of that baby. I've rehearsed this with you many times through the years, but thinking about the lethality of this procedure, 1 million a year, let's put that in perspective. You know, you may know most or all of the wars we've been in as a nation in the last 250 years, from the Revolutionary War, Civil One, Two, Korea, Vietnam, War on Terror, everything in between. In all of our wars and the lethality of it, in war, they're actually trying to kill each other. Did you know that? And by the way, they're using real bullets, not rubber ones. And they're out there desperately trying to kill. Each side is trying to kill the other, one way or another. Rockets, grenades, missiles, RPGs, gunships, whatever, whatever. Carpet bombing, chemicals in Vietnam. And in all of our wars from Revolutionary till now, we've lost about 750,000 combatants. And in the Civil War, Americans died on both sides. That was the most lethal because every death in it was an American, one side or the other, North or the South. But you think about that. These are people trained in war, both sides, trained for lethality, trained to kill each other. And in all the wars we've ever been in 250 years, 750,000 deaths, a little more than that, right in there, less than a million. So that shows what we're talking about here. And it's really the most deadly thing on abortion is the most deadly thing on earth for human beings, more than polar bears. You know, and so we see here this idea. Now, he says we are created to rule over the rest of creation. God has made us to rule. We're superior. We're in the likeness of God. The angels marvel at us. All the created angels, if there's millions, however many there are, they look at us as human beings and they marvel that we're little representations, little emblems of God here on earth. Each of us. And so he's given us this, but it's funny that we would take that much ability and authority that God's given us, and then we would say, well, I want the animals to be equal to us. Now, I grew up, as you know, in a hunting family, and we saw animals as something to eat most of the time. Not all of them. I've never eaten a dog. In fact, I've never eaten a snake, but I'm up for that maybe. I'm sure there's a lot of meat on an anaconda. In fact, I'm PETA, P-E-T-A, people eating tasty animals. That's what I advocate. But when you look at this, God says, I've created them for you to eat. And after the flood, the great flood, He intended for us to be carnivorous. In the vision to Peter, he lowers a sheet from heaven filled with all types of animals, even those that, according to the dietary law, were unclean. There were hogs in there. Praise God for pork being on the list. And all of that was there. And he said, rise, kill, and eat. Peter, well, I've never eaten that in my life because it's unclean. And he said, what I've declared clean is clean, and you can eat it. And so he put us over that. But here's where we are now. We've elevated animals because of evolution. I mean, if evolution's true, they are our predecessors, although I don't know why they're still around. If we came from monkeys and there's billions of people and billions of monkeys, then where's the billions of everything else in between? Can I hear an amen? They're looking for one missing link. They find this one skeleton of an extinct pig and says it was one of our ancestors in the chain because they reconfigured it. No, you're not looking for a missing link. You're looking for billions of them. And if monkeys are our predecessors, they shouldn't be here anymore. And so we've got that going, and we're elevating animals. Now, I just looked it up actually this morning to be fresh on it, of people that are serving time in prison for the murder of dogs. They murdered dogs. Alan Taylor in Grand Rapids, Michigan, they found his dog dead in his house that he had killed it, and they put him in prison. Christopher Triplett, March of 25, March last year, Broward County, threw his dog off a pedestrian bridge, and his bond was $100,000. Now, we're not to be cruel to animals. I've had some of you through the years ask me if your dog's in heaven, you know, and you love them, and they have a personality, and I get it. I mean, my son's dog spooned me when they were here for Thanksgiving, laid in the bed behind me and laid his head on me. I felt a compassion for the animal. But they're animals. And we will charge someone a $100,000 bond for throwing his dog off of a bridge. and won't do anything to doctors that kill babies in wholesale slaughter. What in the world? It's because of evolution. And so then we see not only did Christopher do that in Broward County, then Damon Jackson, June 25th in Knox County, Tennessee, he also threw a dog off of a bridge. He did it because the dog was old, was going to be euthanized, and he did it as an act of mercy. He wanted a quick death for the animal and threw it to a sure death from the bridge. But he's in prison now for this his opinion of his euthanizing of his dog. We're worshiping eggs and fish and eggs of birds and all of that. And then we're saying that human beings are not even human beings. Number three, we're created in two genders, only two. Verse 27, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So the intelligentsia, the academic, the brilliant among us, evolution's true. Everything came from nothing. And then there's 30 sexes, 40 sexes, whatever. You know, make up an encyclopedia of them, whatever. And in those sexes are people who designate themselves as animals, furries and stuff like that. And then you go from there to the idea of the whole idea of sex changes and sex gender dysphoria in confusion about your gender and how we're to go along with that. That's not loving. That's not kind to tell children to mutilate themselves and not even let their parents know. And actually gender dysphoria, the movement, is a direct rebellion against God. You can't tell me what sex I am, God, and you can't even tell me there's only two. What's funny about this is a tool of Marxism to destroy and divide civilizations. They're using this, it's in their game plan, it's in their agenda to inject this into our society, to get us divided over it, fighting over it, confused about it, and to break down our morals. Marxism cannot survive in a spiritual environment of Christ and dignity and morality. In fact, our founding father said our personal morality is the foundation and the security, the bulwark around our society, and it's what will sustain it, our personal morality. Benjamin Franklin said, our form of government is wholly inadequate for an immoral people. Now, what's funny about this whole thing about homosexual marriage, which now is the law of the land, thank you, Barack Obama, is that if you look in the function of it, society of it, they still mimic biblical creation because invariably, well, like the woman that was killed tragically in Minnesota, she said, what, her wife was there or her husband was, I mean, pick one. If you're both girls, you can be either. You be the husband today and I'll be the wife, you know, I'll be the husband tomorrow. But they're still picking that, even in male homosexual arrangements. Generally, one will say, I'm the husband and I'm the wife. Why are they picking the biblical terminology and the genetic code that God has given? Because that is an immutable pattern that God has given. There are male and female. There are husbands and wives. And we see this, and it's spelled out. And then number four, we're created to be fruitful and multiply. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He says the fruit of our relationship is blessed by God. God blessed them and said to them. Children are a blessing. We thank God for our kids, and we especially thank God we didn't kill our kids when they were young because they gave us some grandchildren. And that's by not taking out your children, the blessing is getting grandchildren. And I love them. I love them to death. They're like candy. They're so much fun to be around. And, you know, if they get rowdy and tired and sick, you just send them home. I mean, it's perfect. What a perfect arrangement. But God said we're to be fruitful and multiply. And that's another issue. That's the Western civilizations are dying because they're not replicating. They're not having children. A lot of the European countries, their birth replacement ratio is less than 2. 2 breaks even. Actually, it's 2.1, 2.2 breaks even. I don't know how you have a 0.1 of a child, but, you know, that's how it works. And God wants us to have many children. I've never met any families that have a lot of children that have had a lot that are not grateful for that. And, I mean, it's a joy. And then if you're not close with some of them, if you got enough of them, you're going to be close to some of them. I mean, if you got 5 or 6, there's got to be at least one that likes you. It'll show up. And so he says, be fruitful, multiply. And that's really what we're talking about with this whole thing is the replacement of us. How much better off would we be if we had those 43 million, who knows how many doctors and lawyers and scientists that would have discovered great things that were taken out in their mother's womb. And we've heard stories, great stories about that, great conductors and that were blind in utero and that were on the autism scale and different things. And yet the mother said, I'm not going to get rid of them. And then they've come out and become a Beethoven or this or that. So I just want to encourage you, we're not done with this. We've got to still... Who's going to speak for those babies? Who's going to speak for those little ones swimming around in their mother's womb? It's got to be us. And we speak with our mouth. We speak with our influence. We speak with our debating. We speak with our votes. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and I thank you so much for the truth that we can stand and declare that you're the omniscient creator of the universe in your beautiful and perfect design, and that you created all of us and you made us to look like you. And I thank you, Lord, that you cherish the innocents and you abhor the death of the innocents. And I thank you, Lord, that you're merciful, you're gracious, you're forgiving, you're kind, and that you want to forgive us. And I ask you, please, Almighty God, to speak to hearts now. And maybe there's some precious lady that has gone through the trauma of abortion, and she wants your forgiveness, and she can have it, and you want to give it to her. You want to take that from her heart, that pain. You want to encourage her. Maybe there's some men here that talk to their wives or fiancés and talk to them into an abortion. We pray, Lord, that you would also give them grace to be forgiven and give them the will to be able to accept your forgiveness and put that behind them. And Father, today there's someone listening, someone somewhere that needs your son Jesus, that needs to be born again. They've got a dead spirit. And it needs to be brought to life. I ask you to speak to their heart right now. And I'd like to invite you to just say, oh God, oh dear Lord, sovereign God of the universe, thank you for giving your son Jesus to die for me. Please, Lord, apply his death to my life. forgive me and cleanse me and live through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing, and this is our invitation, and want you to do business with God as he speaks to your heart today. In whatever way he does, you do business with him. Thank you. I want to remind you, we take up an offering each time Sue's with us for the crisis pregnancy centers. The ushers are in the lobby. Want to encourage you to pray about what you do to assist with that. As you know, as she shared, I mean, you could be paying for the Uber ride for some girl to save a baby's life. What a great investment. Amen? Amen. So I want to encourage you to give generously on your way out. And then remind you of a couple things. Tuesday is our senior luncheon. And we need some wonderful, delectable cover dish things. We must have them, especially good vegetables and things like that. And maybe good pecan pie, maybe. Something like that. And we'll have a great time together and we'll encourage you to come. And then remind our folks, men and ladies, if you'd like to come. We've got a couple of very faithful ladies that have been helping us. We'll be working at the farm on Friday and Saturday from 8 till noon. And please come. If you're a pocket pyromaniac, you can supervise our fires for us when we burn some of the debris. But we'd love to have you come and be a part of that with us. Kim, can you dismiss us in prayer? Anything you want to add?
No, that was great.
Oh, thank you, honey. Good answer. Good answer.
Let's pray. Father God.
Amen. Sue, do you want to speak to him for a minute in the lobby? Yeah, see Sue on your way out. God bless you. You're dismissed. Oh, wait a minute. Please be seated for a second.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. Tune in for Born to Win with Ronald L. Dart right here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Sunday morning at 7. And we'll talk about whether you were born to lose or born to win. And visit us online at borntowin.net.